This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the fourth hour of this Friday edition, July 22nd, 2016, of The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to be taking a look as we move forward to next week's convention, the Democrat National Convention, and I'll be there in Philadelphia. We're going to take a look at some of the stuff that is already broken about that. Of course, we're going to hear probably this weekend who Hillary Clinton has picked for vice president. But I think there's a couple of important issues that have come up, and we're going to talk about those. One of them is Glass-Steagall. You know, people are always looking to see how they can break off people from one party to the other. I think this is a major wedge that Trump can use to pull people in from the Democrat Party. Because this was an issue that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, that many of the left wanted. They were very upset about the fact that Bill Clinton removed Glass-Steagall. And that's only part of the story. We're going to tell you the whole story of what the Clintons did in the 1990s that led directly to the massive bank bubble and the meltdown that we experienced. And how we all know they're intricately involved with big banks. But I want to go back and talk about how these banks became too big to fail under Bill Clinton. Glass-Steagall is an important part of that. And it is something that everybody is scratching their head and saying, well, that's real unusual for the Republicans to do that. It's something that Donald Trump had talked about and his chief advisor, Carl Icahn, had talked about. Something that needed to be done. So we're going to tell you what that's about. We're going to tell you how Clinton really did break the glass ceiling. But it was the glass ceiling for banks, not for women, okay? That's what's going on. We're also going to take a look at some of the things that have come out of the RNC convention. One of the key things was yesterday the back and forth about NATO and our commitment to NATO. There was a major interview with Donald Trump in the New York Times. He talked about NATO and his view of it. We're going to give you his comments on that, as well as Nigel Farage. We're going to give you updates as they break on the shooting in Munich. I think it's very interesting. News came out today that the attack in Nice, the one with the guy driving the truck, driving over about 100 people, driving for about a minute and a half at least, because he went for over a mile before he encountered anybody with any guns. Well, we find out now that he had accomplices. And they say he had five accomplices. I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, whenever this stuff happens in the United States, we're always told that it's a lone shooter. They never have any accomplices here in the United States. Yet they're looking for multiple people today in Munich. They admit that there were multiple accomplices in France. And it was pretty obvious. There were text messages to other people. There was money that was being exchanged, a massive amount of money that was wired back to his relatives in Tunisia. Just before he carried out this attack, there was also a message saying, I've got the equipment and so forth and so on. If that had happened in the United States, it would have just been ignored or it would have been explained away. And if you would have questioned it, you would have been called a conspiracy theorist. And, of course, if you point out that they're going to find these guys that did the shooting in Munich, you're going to find out that their names are, guess what, Muhammad or maybe Ali or maybe both Muhammad Ali. We're going to find that out when this is out there. It was amazing. I was watching MSNBC, and they were showing live video feed of the police moving around, going from building to building. And at the same time they're doing that, they said the German police have asked people not to put out any live video on social media because it could inform the people that they're hunting as to where the police are and how they're moving around. What are you doing at this very moment? That's the double standard that we see. It's just absolutely amazing. So we're going to talk about all those things. We're going to talk about what's coming up at the DNC. Already we're seeing some insanity, some hypocrisy. Clinton has invited families of blacks killed by police to speak at convention. But guess who's not invited? male delegates from Vermont. They have too many male delegates. They've just got to get rid of them because of gender. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To a professional trader in precious metals, the key is spot price. Spot price is market price, what gold or silver actually costs on the exchange. Regular people looking to invest never get spot price because resellers add fees for everything. Refining, minting, brokerage costs, commissions. The public is never offered spot price until now. In a limited new customer outreach, JM Bullion offers you the chance to own a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, commissions, markups, not even a shipping cost. Now, through JM Bullion, own the most real investment of all at real cost. Not a piece of paper from Wall Street or a bank. A 10-ounce bar of silver at spot price. That's a solid investment. But you must act now. Go online to realpricesilver.com for this limited time offer. That's realpricesilver.com. Realpricesilver.com. Limit one offer per household. 50 United States only.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
If you ever wanted a great deal on a powerful solar generator but were waiting for an outrageously low price, you are not going to want to miss this important message. Here's why. My friends, we already see major power grid problems, and it's getting worse. So please listen. Solar generators really do provide life-saving electrical power. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run silently, emit no fumes or gases, and produce electricity from the sun. Whether it's dangerous summer storms, blackouts, intensifying civil unrest, you're not going to have to suffer through it like the rest of the sheep. And here's the best news if you want to get one this week. Solutions from Science has a big sale on their fast charge solar generators, and they're giving away a couple thousand dollars worth of off-the-grid gear in addition to the low price for InfoWars listeners. So it's a good time to check it out. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com. It's a great opportunity to generate maximum electricity with minimum money. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
The world is a dangerous place, not because of evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Friday, July 22nd, 2016. We're going to play a clip of Alex. We ran into a Texas Congressman, John Carter, at the airport, and he asked him about Ted Cruz as the everybody is heading home from the RNC. We're going to take a look ahead also this hour at what's going to be coming up at the DNC in Philadelphia this next Monday. It will begin. I'll be there with other people from InfoWars to cover that convention. And we're going to take a look at something that is really kind of striking all of the leftist press. They don't really know what to make of the fact that Glass-Steagall found its way into the GOP platform. This is a hardcore tenet of the left, especially of Bernie Sanders people. And actually, it's not something that only the left should be concerned about. We should all be concerned about Glass-Steagall. So we're going to talk about that, why it's a good thing that is in the GOP platform, and talk about the fact that they want to say things like, well, this is a surprise revival in the Republican platform. That was The Intercept. The Guardian said, this is one thing that Democrats and the GOP can agree on. restore Glass-Steagall. I say, well, not your nominee, not Hillary Clinton. It was Bill Clinton who broke the glass ceiling, and he didn't do it for women. He did it for banks. And we're going to tell you how that happened. We're going to tell you why that's important and why taking away Glass-Steagall was only one part of what Clinton did to create the bust of 2008, the financial bust in the markets. So we're going to break that down for you. And we're also going to take a look at some of the things that have come out with Donald Trump, this interview he gave about NATO. Very interesting comments on that, and also some interesting information about the floor fight, about what went into the GOP platform in regards to Ukraine. And I'll say the Ukraine. Somebody made a comment on a YouTube video, said, hey, dummy, it's not the Ukraine, it's Ukraine. Well, it depends on whether you think Ukraine is simply a country or whether it's a region historically of Russia, as it has been for hundreds of years. You know, the Crimea has been part of Russia since before we had our American independence here. And if you're going to talk about Ukraine deserving the right of secession, and I agree, the Ukraine should be able to become Ukraine, the country. But also at the same time, if you're going to support that, how do you not support independence for the Crimea from the Ukraine or from Ukraine? Okay, so we're going to talk about what's going on with NATO. We're going to talk about what's going on with Russia. But first, let's play this comment from a Texas congressman who's on his way back from the RNC. Alex saw him in the airport. This is Congressman John Carter talking to Alex Jones.
Well, we were sitting here about to board our flight, and it's Congressman Carter from the great state of Texas, sir. You are actually a real card-carrying Texan, meaning you're actually from there. What is your view overall of what Ted Cruz did?
Oh, well, first and foremost, he calls himself a Texan. He doesn't keep his word. That's intolerable. Texans keep their word even if they're hurt, even if it hurts them, because that's who we are. It breaks my heart that he's a Texas senator and didn't keep his word.
I heard from a little bird that when he didn't keep his word, you had something to say.
I got kind of went ballistic, but I've calmed down now.
So should Ted Cruz maybe just go be a congressman in Ottawa?
Well, he's acting more like a Canadian than a Texan.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. Do you have any comments? All right, folks.
Bye, guys.
That's InfoWars.com on the job. InfoWars.com. By the way, you can read it in Politico. You can read it in The Hill. Myself and Roger Stone, with a little Trump juice, we're coming after that fake Texan, okay? All hat, no cattle.
Well, Ted Cruz may be all hat and no cattle, and I absolutely agree with Alex on that. But he does have a massive war chest that he walked off with from the presidential campaign. And it was something like $20 to $30 million. I don't remember the exact amount of money. Of course, you know, he can't use that to buy himself a new home or anything personal. But he can roll that over to run for any office that he wishes to run for. So even though that was collected for his presidential campaign, he has a massive war chest to run as a senator, but he hasn't done himself any favors. And if you remember yesterday, we were talking about what happened in the wake of that speech as he left with everybody booing him because he couldn't say the four words, vote for Donald Trump. Just couldn't say it. Just couldn't say it. As he went to the donor areas, one donor had to be physically restrained from attacking him. And then when he went to the Adelson suite, they would not allow him in. They said, you're not going to use us as a criticism to try to divide this party against Donald Trump. Look, any real Republican has to understand now that it is about more than his hurt feelings. It's about more than his personal ambitions. As he has pointed out many times, made it a central part of when he was running for president, that it's very important who gets to pick the Supreme Court nominees, even if he's naive enough to think that he's going to defeat Hillary Clinton after 4 years in office. Look, they impeached Bill Clinton before lying, you know, for committing perjury in a civil lawsuit of sexual harassment and other rape issues, okay, that were involved in this. That couldn't take him down. You're not going to take Hillary Clinton down in 4 years if she becomes president, but she will be able to do 1 to 4 probably Supreme Court nominees just in the first 4 years, definitely within the next 8 years. So you're basically going to have a Hillary Clinton court. That's what the people who are with her, like Ted Cruz. There was an amazing picture that I saw from a small website. I didn't vet it, but a lot of people said, well, it was reported that Ted Cruz traveled with Obama from Washington to Dallas when there was the shooting of the police officers. And there's this picture that I think is authentic. I haven't vetted it, but it looks like it's authentic. Of course, you can make Photoshop look like anything, but there are reports that he did travel with them on the plane, and it shows the Obamas, it shows Cruz, it shows Hillary. It's like they're all there taking the plane ride, okay? Just like Bill meeting with Loretta Lynch on the tarmac. I mean, look, it's Goldman Sachs, folks, and we're going to break that down. Before we leave the Republican convention, I thought this was interesting. This is reported on the Hill. They say Trump is one step closer to getting classified briefings. And you think, well, he's got the nomination as a Republican nominee. You would think that maybe the government would brief him on intelligence briefings. But no, they told the Hill on Friday that Trump must wait for Hillary Clinton to officially become the Democrat nominee. And I thought about this, and I thought, well, if he has to wait for Hillary to become the Democrat nominee before he can get classified briefings, there's not going to be any classified briefings after Hillary gets them. It'll be in the public domain. Everybody will have it, okay? It'll be on her personal server. It'll be hacked by the Russians who will post it. It'll be hacked by WikiLeaks who will post it, all the rest of the stuff. Look, it just isn't going to have any value if they wait until Hillary gets this stuff. I mean, that's the irony. Think about the fact that we have somebody running for president that can't be trusted to obey any national security classifications. And they're going to give her a briefing this time next week. She'll be getting her briefing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely amazing? And it is not unreasonable for the Republicans to come out and say that Hillary Clinton needs to be denied a security briefing. They did that to John Deutsch, who was Bill Clinton's CIA director, when he did exactly the same thing Hillary Clinton did. Except not to the same degree, okay? He didn't have several servers that he had set up in a private network and tell people, remove the classified headings so that you can fax this to me and send this to other people unsecurely. He had not set up this massive infrastructure to subvert the classified regime there. No, he had just brought home a computer with classified documents on it. And because of that, he was going to go to jail, and Bill Clinton had to give him a pardon to keep him from going to jail. But they still revoked his classification clearance, the former CIA head. So he got out of the job. Actually, I think they found it right after he had quit. I don't think that was the basis of him being fired. But then, of course, you know, we had people like Sandy the Burglar Burger, who went to the National Archives, stuffed documents down his pants, was seen doing that. They call security. He goes out, destroys the documents. He had been their national security advisor, and he wanted to cover up information about the first attack on the World Trade Center that was in the National Archives. And so he destroyed a bunch of physical documents that they said they didn't have some backups for some of those things. Nothing happened to him, of course. Nothing happens to these people, no matter what they do. Now, let's go to the situation with NATO. CNN is reporting Trump would break sharply with U.S. foreign policy tradition. Trump, in a New York Times interview published yesterday, outlined a sharp break in U.S. foreign policy tradition, suggesting the U.S. would not defend NATO allies, such as the Baltic states, against Russian aggression if they, quote, hadn't fulfilled their obligation to us. Trump has repeatedly made the case that most of NATO's 28 member countries are not making the requisite financial contributions for their common defense. And he said in the past, the U.S. must be prepared to let these countries defend themselves. His comments were met with shock and anger in some quarters, drawing stern rebukes from members of both parties. And let me tell you what this boils down to, okay? If they can't or won't pay for their own defense, as Trump said himself, there is going to come a time at which the U.S. can no longer afford to defend all of them for free. And at that point, they're going to have to pay 100% of their defense. We're not even going to be there to help them defend it. And we won't be able to defend ourselves either if we destroy our economy. He's made that point. He made that point again. I'm going to read you a quote from him in just a second. But the other part of it is this. All of these neocons who are jumping up and down about the fact, how could we do this? Understand that while the U.S. subsidizes these socialist welfare states that are very very large in Europe, okay, we're getting poor. And they can have these welfare states because they don't have to pay for their defense. One of the guys who came back and made a case for this and we'll talk about this when we come back, was from Estonia. He says, well, we're one of the five that meet our 2% defense expenditures commitment. 2% of their GDP? Give me a break. Is that it? Only five? Are you kidding me? Out of all the European countries? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the highest quality body armor, period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, why would you go anywhere else? KD offers rifle threat-rated armor up to level 4 and now introducing trauma pads. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free water filter for a limited time with any body armor package. Go to KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com. Come and take it.
It's not just our water we need to filter. It's not just our food that needs to be cleaned. It's the air we're breathing, especially for our children. The artificial particulates, the chemicals, is absolutely weighing down our immune systems. The same team based right here in America that brought you the Alexa Pure groundbreaking water filtration systems have now developed Alexa Pure Breeze. Whether it's your home or office, you owe it to yourself, your coworkers, your family, your children to do the best job you can to purify your air. The elite are masters at poisoning our environment while themselves doing things that mitigate or avoid most of the toxic effects for themselves. The general public doesn't. The Alexa Pure Breeze would be a steal at $300, $400, $500. One of these systems can keep 800 square feet incredibly clean. This is a system I'm personally putting in throughout my house, replacing older, more expensive filters that didn't do as good a job. Find out why this system is so revolutionary today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Who's among the worst at keeping your data private? The Electronic Frontier Foundation Privacy Report says it's AT&T. AT&T customers need to know this when calling the Alex Jones 24-7 Listen line at 1-605-562-9000. Big Brother is listening. No apps, no data, no internet needed, and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call the Alex Jones 24-7 Listen line on any phone, but please don't use AT&T. For everyone else, bookmark Alex Jones Listen line number today, 1-605-562-9000. That's 1-605-562-9000.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Bar Justice is responsible for the content of this ad. Attention, all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson baby powder was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using the talcum baby powder product. Multiple studies show that women who have long-term use of talcum powder in products such as baby powder for feminine hygiene can increase the risk of contracting ovarian cancer. If you or a family member have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call talcum baby powder alert today. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless you receive a settlement. So if you or a loved one used talcum baby powder products before being diagnosed with or died from ovarian cancer, make this important free call today. Call 1-800-588-7342. 1-800-588-7342.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and before we went to break, we were talking about the interview that Donald Trump gave with the New York Times yesterday, talking about how he saw our involvement with NATO. Essentially, hey guys in Europe, you need to start paying some of your defense. It's absolutely amazing when we think about this. And again, the two points are that eventually they're going to have to pay for their defense because they're going to bankrupt the United States if we have to carry everyone. And if you think that's an exaggeration, hang on, I'll show you that it's not. The other part is that the U.S. is subsidizing these economies who do not want to defend themselves. And what we're really subsidizing is their soft welfare state. They're socialist states. Why should we subsidize that and get poor in this country? I don't understand. And I think most Americans don't understand it either. Now, Trump went on to say, as he was being interviewed by the New York Times, he said, this is not 40 years ago. He also suggested the massive expense of maintaining an international order that's contributing to trade losses for the U.S., quote, doesn't sound very smart to me. Doesn't sound very smart to me either. He went on to say, quote, we're spending a fortune on the military in order to lose $800 billion. Now, as they talked about this, of course, Hillary Clinton is all for this. Okay. Business as usual with Hillary Clinton. She's going to be there for the banks. She's going to be there for the military-industrial complex. She's going to be there for every vested interest, folks. Nothing is going to change, except it's her turn to be in power. That's really what this is about. She goes on to say, it's fair to assume that Vladimir Putin is rooting for a Trump presidency. And I would say I would agree with her on that, quite frankly, because Vladimir Putin, I don't think, wants a new Cold War any more than the American people want a new Cold War. But you have to understand the military-industrial complex that backs Hillary Clinton very much does. George Soros very much does. Victoria Nuland, Obama's person who was channeling and admitted the billions of dollars that they put into revolutions. And as they have these drills right at the massive NATO drills right at the border of Russia, does that make us safer? Of course it doesn't. They're incredibly expensive, but they're incredibly dangerous. These are tripwires. And when they tell Vladimir Putin, don't worry, they're just exercises. You've seen the clip. He looked at him and he just started laughing like, you're kidding. You're kidding. You can't possibly be stupid enough to believe this is not a threat. This is not an implied threat to go right up to the... What would you think? What would you think if the Soviet Union were to hold massive maneuvers right at the U.S.-Mexico border? Okay, if Mexico had an alliance with, I know they're in the North American Union now, you know, North American Free Trade Association, which is trying to make a union. Isn't it interesting that today, what tone-deaf blindness for Obama to meet with the Mexican president today and have a little kumbaya session, you know, the two amigos. They had the three amigos meeting a couple of weeks ago. What an amazingly stupid photo op for him to do to drive home the idea that he's not working in our interests, but in the interests of foreign countries. But let's understand for a minute. Let's imagine that they weren't joined at the treaty, at the hip, and we had they had an alliance with Russia. What if Russia were holding massive military exercises right at the border of China, of Mexico and Texas? Do you think we would feel threatened? Do you think we'd be alarmed about that? Do you think they would just tell us it's just a drill? Nothing to worry about. We're not getting aggressive or anything. And as we went to break, I pointed out Hendrik, president of Estonia, one of the NATO member countries, said in response to what Donald Trump was saying, he said, well, Estonia is one of five NATO allies in Europe to meet its 2% defense expenditures commitment. Think about that. Only five European countries meet their 2% defense expenditure commitment. Only five. And they can only come up with 2%. I mean, it's 2%. That's setting the bar pretty low, don't you think? Look at the massive amount of money that America spends on the military, and I think it's far too much. We spend, we have a military budget that is by far and away the largest budget. We have the largest army. We have the biggest expenditures. We just put out a new aircraft carrier. Well, it's not gone out. Actually, it's running about 2 years late, but there's been a new article talking about how it's been delayed now to, I think it's November of this year that it's supposed to go out. It was scheduled, I think, for September of 2014. A giant aircraft carrier, biggest one we've had, it's almost $13 billion. It's not launching planes as it's supposed to. We just put out another Navy ship not long ago that was supposed to be a stealth ship for close-in patrol. It broke down after 50 miles. They had to tow it back in. Give me a break. There's no backup on a military ship. This is a sorry state that we've gone to because of the military-industrial complex bleeding us dry with these boondoggles. Stay with us.
Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
This is Alex Jones. Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day. The security industry uses hordes of salesmen to scare you into signing long-term contracts with no way out. Protect your family the right way with SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe has no long-term contracts, no hidden fees, 24/7 monitoring, and it's just $14.99 a month, three times less than most other security companies. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com to get 10% off for listening to my show. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Who's among the worst at keeping your data private? The Electronic Frontier Foundation Privacy Report says it's AT&T. AT&T customers need to know this when calling the Alex Jones 24/7 Listen Line at 1-605-562-9000. Big Brother is listening. No apps, no data, no internet needed, and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call the Alex Jones 24/7 Listen Line on any phone, but please don't use AT&T. For everyone else, bookmark Alex Jones Listen Line number today, 1-605-562-9000. That's 1-605-562-9000.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. On this fourth hour, we're going to go back to what's happening with foreign policy, the glimpses that we've seen of this from Donald Trump in the interview he gave yesterday with the New York Times and others. Before we do, real quickly, I just want to mention to you that we have started carrying Oakley products. Premier eye protection sunglasses from Oakley. We have a line of several products that we're now selling at InfoWarsStore.com. Very premium, world-class products that you'll find there. As we point out, it's in their DNA to identify the problems, create inventions, and wrap those inventions in art. That's the way Oakley describes themselves, and everybody knows Oakley's reputation. Again, you can buy those products now at InfoWarsStore.com. As we were talking about NATO in the last break, you know, one of the people who came to Trump's defense, interestingly enough, was Nigel Farage. And one of the things that he said was, I think the American military the last few years has been pretty unhappy with their NATO allies, who have just kept cutting their defense spending. He added that NATO was a wonderful vehicle to keep the peace in Europe for 60 or 70 years, but NATO now does need to redefine itself. What is it for? We don't have the Warsaw Pact. He says, I'm pro-NATO, I'm pro-cooperation, but it's not a bad thing that we reassess what it's for. And, of course, this has been something that's been talked about in many circles for quite some time. It's one of the reasons why they have gone out of their way to revive the Cold War with Russia, with these provocative moves in the Ukraine, the region,
okay,
now the country, and now the country Crimea, trying to push that. One of the things that happened, and I mentioned this in a special report, you can see it at Infowars.com, is a interesting insight into, again, Ted Cruz, the guy who has so many backers on Wall Street, the military-industrial complex. He had one of his backers here, delegate from Texas, tried to put some language in the platform that would call for maintaining and increasing sanctions against Russia and providing lethal defense weapons to the Ukrainian military. And they report in the Washington Post that Trump staffers in the room, who weren't delegates but who were there to oversee the process, intervened. They worked with pro-Trump delegates. They were able to get the issue tabled while they devised a method to roll back the language. And then she was put on the sideline, and she was kind of upset. She says, I was troubled when they put aside my amendment, and then they watered it down. I said, what's your problem with a country that wants to remain free? That seems like a simple thing. It's a very simplistic way to look at this. Clearly, either she doesn't understand what the Obama administration and George Soros and the military-industrial complex are doing in terms of trying to start another Cold War, and perhaps a third world war, in order to sell us gigantic ships that don't work, long-range bombers. You know, you can't make a case for long-range bombers and a lot of tactical nukes if you don't have a Cold War. You know, if you're just fighting their war on terror that they're creating. So they needed to go back and revive the Cold War again to start up those profit centers. You know, they've got a new profit center with the war on terror. And they can have a new profit center with the militarization of the police and creating a civil war here in this country, pitting Black Lives Matter against the police and equipping and arming both sides of them and encouraging that division. But they still want to have that old profit center back, too, you know, because you can never have enough money or power with these people. So they have to revive the Cold War. And they point out, they said, what they did was they replaced her language calling for lethal defensive weapons with softer language that called for appropriate assistance. Because we don't want to be tweaking the nose of Russia to start another war. The American people understand that. There's a lot of people in the Democrat Party that should understand that, should understand that Hillary Clinton does want to escalate things. She's as hawkish as any of the people at the upper level of the GOP. And if you don't want a third world war, don't vote for Hillary Clinton. If you want to try to de-escalate that tension, you've got one choice and one choice only. That's Donald Trump. They said Trump's view of Russia has been friendlier than most Republicans. He said he would get along very well with Vladimir Putin. And, you know, Hillary Clinton said, well, Vladimir Putin must be very happy must be rooting for a Trump presidency. I think he would, because I don't think anybody in their right mind wants a world war or a Cold War. And so Hillary Clinton is not in her right mind. Here's some evidence she's not in her right mind. She has invited families. This is coming up now. The DNC is going to start the Democrat National Convention. They're going to have their 4 days, Monday through Thursday, next week in Philadelphia. We'll be there to cover it. She has now invited families of blacks killed by police to speak at the convention. But no families of police who were killed by blacks. No families of those who were killed by illegal immigrants. And you remember when these families spoke at the Republican National Convention on Monday night, the families who had members who had been killed by criminals who came into this country without being vetted. They just are able to walk across and come in. As a matter of fact, we've got Obama and John Kerry bragging about how they're going to bring 10,000 people from an area that we're at war with without vetting any of these people. They can't do it. They don't care to do it. They don't care if they're bringing in enemy combatants into this country. And they don't care if they're letting criminals come in through the southern border either that are not vetted, that are not controlled. And so the result of that is that you've got a lot of people who have family members who were killed by these criminals that are being let in. Some of those people spoke on Monday night, and as they were speaking, pretty much every one of the broadcast channels and cable channels turned off of them. If you wanted to see them speak, you had to pretty much watch C-SPAN. They turned off of the families who were talking about their personal tragedy, and they started talking amongst themselves, the talking heads with CNN and others. I can guarantee you that when they have the families of blacks who have been killed by police that are going to be put up to tell their story on Monday night or Tuesday night, whenever they do it, that they will not cut away from those families. But here's what Philadelphia's police union chief said. Now, this is the city where the convention is going to be held. He blasted Hillary Clinton for inviting relatives of victims of police shootings to speak at the convention, but failing to include relatives of slain police officers. Wouldn't you think that if you wanted to heal the situation and the division, that you would show the tragedy on both sides? That you would say, yes, we have some innocent people here who died because of excessive use of force by government agents, and the government has responsibility to do something about it, which they don't do, by the way. But instead, what do we have? We have the government encouraging people to continue to shut down events and to stage their protest and to not let their voices be silenced after they have encouraged people to assassinate police officers on the street who are also totally innocent, who had nothing to do with any of these cases. They've encouraged this. They've allowed that, and they're not going to let those families speak because they don't want healing. They want division. He goes on to say, the Fraternal Order of Police is insulted. We will not soon forget that the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton are excluding the widows and other family members of police officers killed in the line of duty who were victims of explicit, not implied racism. That's what he said. They were the victims of explicit racism, not the victims of implied racism. His name is McNesby. He also said that to win an election, Mrs. Clinton must pander to the interests of people who do not know all the facts, while the men and women they destroy are outside protecting the political institutions of this country. You see that? While they're in there having people portraying this as a one-sided issue, the police that they are demonizing are protecting them outside. Now, does that surprise you? Because these are the same people who protect themselves with personal and private and government-paid-for bodyguards and want to deny us our Second Amendment rights. Remember we had O'Keefe going to staffers and congressmen who are, staffers of congressmen who are big control gun control advocates, and the congressmen themselves, and saying, you know, we're with a anti-gun group, and we would like for you to put out this sign in your neighborhood saying that you agree with us and you don't have any guns on your home. It's a gun-free zone. And they all demurred. As a matter of fact, one of the places the guy says, you know, this is a pretty violent neighborhood. I don't want to advertise the fact that I'm disarmed. Oh, so he's a free rider on the people who do protect their home. See, that's part of the advantage that these people accumulate and accrue from people who do carry concealed, who do have arms at their homes to protect their homes. So the crooks don't know who has guns and who doesn't have it. So they're deterred to some degree by the fact they might break into a home where there's an armed homeowner. And he would like to not tell people that he is a gun-controlled Democrat and doesn't have any guns on his premises, okay? So that's the thing that's going on. While they're going to be protecting, while the police will be protecting Hillary Clinton, she will be demonizing them with the stories of families that have been killed by the police. And again, if you wanted to solve this problem, you would be talking about the innocent victims on both sides of this. There are issues that need to be solved, and we do need to change how the police interact. And it is the government who can do that, and it's the federal government who has been changing it for the worse. Now, at the same time, They're going to be inviting blacks. They're not going to be inviting the police to speak. And this is very interesting. They also are trying to cut down on the number of men at the DNC. You know, they're so proud of their diversity, except diversity doesn't mean you if you're a white or a male or a Christian or whatever. They don't want you. You're not wanted. Here's two guys from Vermont, hometown of Bernie Sanders. They were pretty upset. They were so upset that they were kicked out of the delegation because they were men that one of them filed a complaint. But then somebody in the DNC talked to him. They have a 26-member delegation, and they demanded at the DNC that it be equally split between men and women. They even have quotas for their little delegates going to their convention here. So they were the guys who were the sacrificial lambs, and they were thrown out. They were state senators, and they were thrown out. One of the guys said, Bernie was my political mentor. He was the first person I worked for when I graduated from college. I really came to age under him, so I'm really bummed out to not be able to watch him give a speech. But on the other hand, the rules are the rules, and life goes on, blah, 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 so I'm going to take this off. He's just going to bow to the political correctness, which I guess you would expect because you had Bernie Sanders bowing and scraping to the tyranny of political correctness at every opportunity. But he did go on to note that the gender imbalance at the delegation was really due to the superdelegates. See, the superdelegates, they want a 50-50 split amongst the entire delegation of 26 members. But understand, of the 26 members, 10 of them are superdelegates. And they say 8 of the 10 party leaders are elected officials who automatically get to go to the convention that are men. So of the superdelegates, 10 out of the 26, 80%. Those are men, and they're not going to mess with the superdelegates. You don't mess with the superdelegates. Also, as we look at the Veep stakes coming out this weekend with Hillary Clinton, the two people that have been up at the top of the list, one of them was Vilsack, and Tom Vilsack, he, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, they have floated his name as a vice presidential pick. He has been at war with Bernie Sanders because he has been supporting the DARK Act that would shut down all state and local GMO labeling laws. We can't even know what's in our food because Big Agra doesn't want us to know that they are putting GMO there. So they're shutting that down. They're doing it at the national level. They got tired of fighting people at the local and the national level and losing in some cases, or spending millions upon millions of dollars to try to tell people that you really don't want to know what's in your food. After they brag about so many different things, this contains this, that contains. If you've got good stuff, like we do at Infowars.com, I mean, you got something like DNA Forces, got BioPQQ in it, wouldn't you want to brag about that? Of course you would, okay? You wouldn't just kind of slip this in, you know. So these people, when they don't want to tell you what's in their product, and they don't want honest labels. I mean, is it because they've got something like sawdust or arsenic in it or GMO stuff, okay? I mean, you should be able to know what's in that. So they call him Mr. Monsanto. The Sanders supporters are very unhappy that this guy is on Hillary Clinton's short list. He's the two names that I've seen floated to the top are Vilsack and Tim Kaine from Virginia. Now, Tim Kaine from Virginia is somebody that Intercept has pointed out, it's on the Drudge Report, he has been one who has supported very wholeheartedly the Trans-Pacific Partnership and, of course, the process to subvert the Constitution on trade treaties, not calling them a trade treaty, calling them partnerships or calling them agreements or whatever. Okay, the NAFTA was a trade agreement, they told us, not a trade treaty, but it was a trade agreement. But when you look at the dispute process and you look at the people who put themselves out there as specialist lawyers on this dispute process, they are treaty lawyers. Nevertheless, we have Kaine who spoke to the Intercept. Get this. After an event at a Northern Virginia mosque, this is a guy from Virginia, a senator from Virginia, former governor from Virginia, the person who is being vetted and everybody believes that he is the person that Hillary Clinton is going to pick. And, of course, he supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and he is holding events at a mosque. There you go, folks. The same day, we've got these multiple attackers going on in Germany. They say that his measured praise of the agreement, he pulled it back today for the first time. His measured praise of the agreement could signal one of two things. Either he's out of the running for the vice presidential spot, Or he's Clinton is trying to signal that she's not really against the TPP, because that's what her corporate masters really want. And that brings us to, I think, a key issue. And that is the fact that Glass-Steagall is in the Republican platform. And, of course, the Guardian is saying, well, Democrats and the GOP now agree on a key thing, restore Glass-Steagall. They say buried beneath all the frenzied political drama of the Republican National Committee this convention this week was one thing, and that is that the GOP and the Democrats have actually found something they can agree on. And the same plank in both parties will say, and these are things that both Trump and none other than Elizabeth Warren, his arch nemesis on Twitter, have agreed on a policy initiative, the need to restore Glass-Steagall. So what is it? Well, this is something that was put in the after the Depression, at the height of the Great Depression, to try to restore confidence in the banking industry. Part of what had happened during the Great Depression was speculation by banks, runs on banks, insolvencies by banks. So they came up with a couple of different ideas. They said, we're going to give you government-subsidized FDIC insurance, deposit insurance for people, to get people give people confidence that they would be able to get their money. And then in exchange for that, we're going to say that banks are going to have to separate themselves from people who want to get involved in the market. So there's going to be investment funds over here, and then there's going to be banks that just do safe loans and take deposits and that sort of thing. That was Glass-Steagall. Guess who took that out? Bill Clinton. And we're going to tell you why when we come back. Stay with us.
If you ever wanted a great deal on a powerful solar generator, but were waiting for an outrageously low price, you are not going to want to miss this important message. Here's why. My friends, we already see major power grid problems, and it's getting worse. So please listen. Solar generators really do provide life-saving electrical power. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run silently, emit no fumes or gases, and produce electricity from the sun. Whether it's dangerous summer storms, blackouts, intensifying civil unrest, you're not going to have to suffer through it like the rest of the sheep. And here's the best news if you want to get one this week. Solutions from Science has a big sale on their fast charge solar generators, and they're giving away a couple thousand dollars worth of off-the-grid gear in addition to the low price for InfoWars listeners. So it's a good time to check it out. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com. It's a great opportunity to generate maximum electricity with minimum money. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com.
Dr. Grip, you developed Living Defense for us. It took you over a year to do it. Why is this so good?
Because people are actually waking up to the problem that pretty much scares me the most. I mean, I try to make sure that I don't put toxins from food and water and beverages in my system. But right now, we're dealing with massive parasites, which is anything that's harmful to your body that lives off a host mechanism. Right now, with all the refugees spreading disease around, we have biological warfare going on everywhere. These are all parasites.
Tell us about all the stuff that's in it. There's so many things that are in it.
You have the neem in there. You have the organic clove bud, the organic wormwood. I recommend doing a parasite cleanse at least twice a year.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got some back in, because I'm going back on it today. It just came back in yesterday. Living Defense, InfoWarsLife.com. And, folks, you can't lose. It's full of stuff that's great for your body, period. And you support the broadcast, InfoWarsLive.com. Thank you, Dr. Grip, from the Global Healing Center. Thank you so much for all your work, sir, on this great product.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. I want to talk now about banking. and where the Republican and Democrat candidates stand on this. It's very clear from the GOP platform. The Republican platform calls for a revival of Glass-Steagall. I explained to you what that was about. That was something put in at the end of the Great Depression to separate the risky aspects of financial investment, like brokerage houses, stock brokerage investment, away from the more conservative aspects that were going to be guaranteed with federal deposit insurance, to restore confidence in the economy, and to also say, hey, if we're going to give you some help in this, then you're going to not be allowed to take these types of risks. If you want to take risks, you're going to do them over here without any government insurance. That's not what happened in 2008, is it? What happened in 2008 is we had a massive meltdown. They were privatizing their profits, socializing their losses. When it all melted down, we were told these banks are too big to fail, and we had to bail them out. And we did. And how did they get too big to fail? Well, that's the key. Because not only did Bill Clinton repeal Glass-Steagall that all the liberals say they want, and it's amazing to watch the liberal press, you know, you've got Intercept looking at this and saying, well, can we really trust this? Is this something, this just came out of nowhere? No, it didn't. And they look at some of the places where Donald Trump has talked about this this approach, and this advisors of his have talked about that. So it didn't really come out of nowhere. It was not highly publicized. They did not get into the weeds. They were keeping it at an eighth grade level for people at the GOP convention. So let's be adults and let's talk about what's really behind this at this point. Now, the Guardian says, well, Democrats and the GOP agree on this, trying to take that away again from the Republicans. And I've got to say to you, Hillary Clinton does not agree on this. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders think that Glass-Steagall should come back, not Hillary Clinton, not the Clintons. It was Bill Clinton who took it away, and he defended it a year ago on the Hill. Bill Clinton defends the repeal of Glass-Steagall. He says, they say he defended his decision to repeal it. The Depression-era banking regulation splits large financial institutions. It's championed by liberals. He said, look at all the grief I got for signing the bill that ended Glass-Steagall. There's not a single solitary example that it had anything to do with a financial crash. Yeah, of course not. Yeah, if you allow banks to do very risky speculative stuff and you bail them out when they get involved in selling collateralized junk, that wouldn't have anything at all to do with it, would it? Meanwhile, this year, January, Clinton and Summers, they say, in another op-ed piece, this is, well, that was an op-ed piece, this is from The Hill, say Clinton and Summers are wrong on Sanders' Glass-Steagall. At that point in time, Hillary Clinton was clearly saying she does not want Glass-Steagall brought back. Sanders was saying that he did. And they say Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have called for passage of an updated version of Glass-Steagall. But former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, joined by her husband's former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, objects to the proposal. Okay? And again, say this would not have prevented anything. Let's talk about what really happened and how all these banks became too big to fail. I remember, and I had a perspective on it from being in North Carolina, because it all began, all the banks that started merging together, it all began in 1998. Glass-Steagall was not repealed until 1999. In 1998, you had the merger of Nations Bank, which is a very large solvent bank that was based in Charlotte, North Carolina, with Bank of America, which was headquartered, I think, at the time in California. Everybody said at the time, this will never go through. This is one of the largest mergers we've ever seen in history. And yet Erskine Bowles, who was an investment banker himself and was chief of staff for the White House, pushed this through, a North Carolina bank where he was from, and Bank of America. On the strength of that, okay, you have all these quotes of the time. Bigger is indeed better, said the new president of Nations Bank. And they say American banks have been hamstrung with laws that discourage branches in more than one state and by the federal Glass-Steagall Act. So they took all that away. They got too big to fail. The next year, Bill Clinton said, don't worry, you can speculate as well. We'll still bail you out. That's Hillary Clinton, who is still owned by the banks. That's the difference, folks. Join us tonight, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the InfoWars Nightly News.
GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.